And welcome back to Pop Topic. We're here to discuss the latest news for the second week of August 2020. I'm your host, Quentin Phillipson, and with me is my co-host who plans to start a Fortnite career to then become the next biggest Hollywood star, Tristan Phillipson. How are you doing this week?
I am doing great. Doing fantastic.
So anything new going on this week? Well, how's quarantine life been?
It's been good. Nothing really new, you know, same old, I guess, same old. Big Brother started last night, that was fun. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, by the time the listeners are here, it'll be starting 5 days ago, but yeah, Big Brother All-Stars has started, we're big reality buffs. And yeah, it's been about the same for me. We had some issues with the rent due to my bank, but we got that all sorted out this morning, so, you know, the adult life hitting me hard.
There you go.
The big story that everyone's really been talking about, or, you know, those of us that follow film, is the Mulan update. Everybody, Mulan keeps getting pushed back. Probably what? It was supposed to be out in April?
March, I think? April?
March or April, yeah. It was supposed to be out quite a while ago. And it keeps getting pushed back. It was pushed back to July, then August, and now it's finally coming out in September with a bit of a caveat. You can only watch it on Disney Plus, so you have to have a subscription for their streaming service, and you have to pay $30 to then watch it.
Yeah. That's a hefty price tag.
Yeah. Definitely, especially if you already own Disney Plus, you can just watch the original Mulan for free.
Yeah, which is, if record has shown with these live action remakes, the original is almost certainly going to be the better movie. With the exception of, like, maybe Jungle Book, and that's a preference decision, the rest have all been undoubtedly the better movie that's been the original. Especially ones like Lion King or Beauty and the Beast, where the original was so good. It's really tough for the remake to be better. And it's no way it's going to be worth $30. I mean, just watch the original for free if you have Disney Plus already.
Yeah, have you seen the live-action remake of Cinderella? That's probably one of the only live-action films I haven't seen yet, but I've heard that that was actually better than the animated one.
I have, or at least, I know I saw like the first hour and a half of it, and I don't think I finished it. But I question on whether or not it's better than the original. Because from my memory, it was the exact same thing as the original, except 2 hours instead of like an hour and 20 minutes like the original one was. Hence why I didn't make it to the end of it. So I don't know if stretching an hour and a half story into 2 hours makes it better. But also the thing is, the original Cinderella came out like in the 50s, right? When the movies back then were just less interesting than the 90s Disney movies that had a lot more going on, more characters, better music, all that kind of stuff. Not the original movies aren't fantastic and classics in their own right. The 90 movies are generally just accepted to be some of the best Disney movies. You know, Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid is technically 80s, I know that. Hunchback of Notre Dame, and of course Mulan being one of them. So I don't know if it's different. You know, I mean, like Jungle Book, the live-action remake, I think is better than the original. Cinderella, the live-action remake, is possibly better than the original. But any of the 90s ones, the remake was worse than the original. Because the originals had the bar so high, the remakes couldn't possibly reach that.
So are you pitching that they should just be making remakes off the 50s Disney film?
I'm pitching make remakes off the less successful Disney film. Remake Meet the Robinsons. Let's go with Home on the Range. All right, don't try remaking the ones that are already so good. You can't beat them. Remake the crappy ones and give a second crack at the bat, you know? If you're going to remake a movie, remake the ones that could have improvement, room for improvement. Why remake a movie that, like Lion King, that's already been renowned as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, animated film of all time, and then make another animated film off the Lion King and be surprised when it's significantly worse? Do something risking. Oliver and Company, The Rescuers. These movies that are good movies, good foundation, but there's room for improvement there.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's probably best to go after the ones that aren't as successful, even Treasure Planet and Atlantis.
There you go.
I need to rewatch them, but from what I've been hearing online by, you know, the cult followings that they've gathered, they're pretty well made films. So
they're good movies, but they have some issues in them. They're so things that you can improve on.
And I think the live, imagine a live action Treasure Planet
would be phenomenal.
Visually, that would be so cool.
Exists is called Avatar, but a live action Treasure Planet could be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think a live action Treasure Planet. I've heard that it might be in the works.
Could be interesting.
But I heard it's in the works for a Disney Plus exclusive, so I don't know how big of a budget it will get.
The Lady and the Tramp live action, although I don't think it was as good as the original, wasn't bad. It was pretty much just the exact same as the original.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, I think it was just as good as the original because it was the same.
Which is another issue with these. If you're going to remake a movie, you can't just make it the exact same.
Yeah.
Why would I not just watch the original?
Well, to be fair, actually, the live-action Lady and the Tramp had a backstory for the Tramp, which I actually thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, was that not the original?
No, they didn't give him a backstory.
Oh, okay. That's pretty interesting. That's fair. But especially with the animal ones, I think Lion King really proved this. You can't get, like, something about the original cartoon animals just look better.
Yeah, no, I expected Lady and the Tramp to be horrible because they were live-action animals, but I felt like it fit more in the style they were going for. Lady and the Tramp has always been a modernized style of humans and with their pet dogs. Like, they aren't supposed to look super animated, while Lion King, it's so over-the-top animated and colorful, it's supposed to feel exotic, that I feel like Lady and the Tramp actually transitioned well for live-action, unlike Lion King.
Yeah, Lady and the Tramp was for sure better than the live-action Lion King was. Right. Which is sad to say, because the original Lion King is objectively better than the original Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, yeah.
In every way.
I haven't seen the live-action Lion King since I watched it when it was out, and I don't plan to ever see it again. But yeah. I just watched the animated one a few weeks ago again, and I just forgot how good it is. It's such a great film.
So good. It's truly phenomenal.
It's a good film, but the new Mulan remake, which I'm actually very excited for. I get chills when I watch the
trailer.
Yeah, when I watch the trailer, I actually get chills from the, I believe it's called The Reflection.
I haven't seen trailers. Reflection is a song in the movie.
They sing the song in the trailer, and the song gives me chills during the trailer. You haven't seen it? It is really good.
Yeah. I don't watch trailers. I've seen every live action remake Disney's made. I'm gonna watch Mulan. I'll probably wait for it to go into Disney Plus for free. I'm not paying $30 for it. But I will see it, so I don't bother with the trailer, so I know I'm gonna see the movie.
I remember watching the trailer for the first time when I went to the theaters with my girlfriend to watch Little Women in December. And I teared up watching the Mulan trailer, and I didn't cry at all during Little Women, so I don't know what that says about the film Little Women, but It's a pretty great trailer.
Little Women was a good movie.
No. I'm not hating on it. It's actually a really good film. I bought it on Blu-ray, but we haven't opened it yet. We should get on that.
Fair enough. That's a good one.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It was Angie's second favorite of the year. I think it's my 12th favorite. It's a great film.
It's a good one.
And yeah, the trailer's great. I think the style of the film is really well done. I'm still a little bummed that Make a Man Out of You is not in the film.
Wait, they got rid of both Make a Man Out of You and Mushu?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be worse than the original for sure. Well, and Eddie Murphy playing a short dragon in that movie. That was phenomenal. That's hilarious.
It is a bit of a bummer because Eddie Murphy's still here. He still could have played Mushu.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Right?
Like, the one thing that could have made... I actually really did enjoy the Aladdin remake. As far as the 90s Disney remake movies go, Aladdin's for sure my favorite over, you know, Beauty and the Beast or a Lion King. But Robin Williams would have made that movie way better, obviously, because Robin Williams is a legend. Not that Will Smith didn't do phenomenal. But that, you're right. Eddie Murphy's still around. Eddie Murphy still could have done it.
Yeah. But I like how they go for different genies with the Aladdin. And in this film, instead of Mushu, the trailer has shown that there's going to be the sorceress.
Phoenix? Oh, sorceress.
Yeah, which she turns to a phoenix from what I've gotten from the trailers.
I don't watch the trailers for a reason. Thanks for spoiling.
I'm sorry. Well, I wasn't going to mention that she turns into it until you said it. But
yeah, I just heard a news article somewhere where they're replacing Mushu with a phoenix. I'm like, all right. Which, in all fairness, I always crap on the remakes for not changing and not doing anything new. So I am excited to see something new. So they're changing something. They're trying something new. Will it pay off? Hopefully. Maybe not.
And in the trailer, they kind of hinted at what the sorceress is involved with. I'm not going to say anything for those of you that haven't seen the trailer. but I kind of get where her character's going in the film's overall story, and I like what I'm seeing. Like, I feel like they're kind of changing something that could be interesting. So I'm very excited for this film. We were planning on having a date night with another friend of ours. It was going to be the four of us to watch this opening night in theaters, and I was super stoked. But, you know, even if it was 20, I might have paid for it, because I am very excited to get a movie night going with my friend and have a little date night. But yeah, 30 is quite a big price to pay to watch it at home.
This is, and this is a movie that I was excited to go see in theaters. Like, I know it's going to be a really cinematic movie, big action scenes. Just the original as cartoon had big action scenes and it was awesome. It would have been great to see in the theater. A live action version of that would for sure be amazing to see in the theater with, you know, big surround sound speakers. Seeing it, you know, on your couch just isn't going to be the same. It's not like Trolls World Tour where it's, you know, it doesn't really matter if you see it in theaters or not. It wouldn't have changed my viewing experience that much. But a big budget action film like this, to really be enjoyed properly, I feel like you got to see it in the cinema.
And I saw the Mulan trailer for the first time with Little Woman in the theater with the surround sound of Reflection going. It's not going to be as impactful unless you have a surround sound and a huge TV. And even then, it's still not going to hold a candle to what the theater could have done. So I definitely think it's hard to pay $30 for it. But
and you're saying this comes out in September, right?
Yeah.
Now, for the rest of the world, it's not in the States. We're having movies hitting theaters in the end of August. Like in Canada, Tenet's coming to theaters, I believe, the 28th of August. Our movie theaters are open. It's same with European countries, many Asian countries, many South American countries. Most places other than the United States, movie theaters will be open by then showing movies. But we still won't be able to see Mulan in theaters because it's no longer going to theaters. It's just going to Disney Plus for $30.
I thought I heard that it won't premiere in the theaters, but a week after it's on Disney Plus, some theaters around the world will have it in theaters.
Oh, okay. See, I never actually, if people don't know this, Quentin Reese's news stories, I don't hear about them until I get on here. Mind you, of course, I did hear about this earlier in the week. I never read any articles.
I don't even have the news story up. I just thought, I believe I read it when I was picking up the story last night.
Okay. So if that's true, I hope that's true, because I would much rather go see this in theaters than see this. And thinking it would be the same amount of money for me to rent this at home or for four people to go to the movies and see it, really, right?
Exactly. But the $30, it's only if you have a Disney Plus subscription. But what I'm wondering is, would it actually be beneficial for families like us, where you're living with the family now, but if you were in Newfoundland, I'm in Edmonton, they're in Ontario, if one of us rented it on Disney Plus, could everybody just pop on Disney Plus with their own account and just check it out since we, you know,
share? Since we all share a Disney Plus account. You're right. That would say, one person could rent it, then everyone who uses that account could go on and watch it. So maybe, you know, that could be seen as beneficial. We also think, is this $30 Canadian or is that $30
American? $30
American. So it'll be about $35 Canadian, $40 Canadian. Yeah. You can buy brand new Blu-rays for under $30.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be almost $40 Canadian.
Well, what's the price of like a 4K Blu-ray film? Like $35?
Sounds about right, yeah.
You can go get Avengers Endgame on 4K Blu-ray for $5, for $35 that you can own forever, or you can rent Mulan.
And that's the way I always looked at it. Yeah, that's how I've always seen it. Even with the $20 films, I could buy a Blu-ray that came out a year ago for less than $20.
Oh, easy.
So yeah,
you can add it to your collection. It's there for a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah, it seems most definitely the better bang for your buck, because it's the same viewing experience. When you go to a movie theater, sure, you can be like, you're paying $20 for two tickets, when you can just buy the movie for that price, you know, in 2 years' time. But it's like, yeah, but it's not the same viewing experience. I'm in a movie theater, you know, large screen, surround sound speakers, all that kind of stuff. It's a different viewing experience. You're paying the premium for that. Whereas here, same viewing experience, you're going to buy another movie on Blu-ray or just wait or just watch the original Mulan for free.
Yeah.
You already have Disney Plus.
So in Canada, it would be almost about $40 to watch Mulan on Disney Plus. And this week, I actually bought 9 Blu-rays off of somebody for $40. So you could definitely just get secondhand Blu-rays or even at a Walmart in the $5 bin for pretty cheap.
Yeah, exactly. This definitely seems... I don't know. And you also got to think, Trolls World Tour can appeal to, like, young kids. Like, kids over the age of, like, what, four? Like, four-year-olds will probably love Trolls World Tour. You know what I mean? Bright colors, silly songs. You know, seven-year-olds will like Trolls World Tour. Mulan, in which it seems, just from, like, the few, you know, clips and posters I have seen, they're going for much more, a slightly more mature audience. You know, like, ages 10 and up, right? Like, I don't really know how this will be for a six-year-old or a four-year-old, right? They're leaning more towards, like, the preteen, like, 12-year-old sort of demographic.
In fairness,
how many of them would parents care to spend $30 for their 12-year-old to watch a movie compared to, like, just slap your 4-year-old in front of a TV for a few hours, get some peace and quiet, right? With Trolls World Tour.
In fairness, though, I think the reason why the live actions always do so well is because the parents, they are in their early 30s or late 20s, maybe later 30s. They grew up watching all these live action, the animated Disney classics from the 90s. And this really tugs at their nostalgia. And I think every parent is like, oh, wow, I loved these as a kid. I'm going to take my kids now to see this in theaters and pay all this money for all of us to watch it, just so they can have the same experience when I was young. So I feel like even though Mulan is definitely aimed at an older audience, I think it's also so they can still really tug at that nostalgia for the older audiences and they can just remember how epic this film is. And I think they'll still take their kids to it. I think this is still going to be relatively successful, but for such a big budget, I don't think they're going to make their money back.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems... And as we mentioned before the podcast started, but this is launching on Disney Plus, though, right? So yep. For the $30 that you spend, Disney gets pretty much all of that, whereas normally, say, Trolls World Tour that launched on, you know, Amazon Prime, you know, Amazon Video for VOD and YouTube for VOD, Universal have to pay a percentage of that to those exhibitors, the websites that you're watching it on. This is going on Disney Plus. I mean, Disney gets to pocket all $30 that you're spending on it, or $40 if you're here in Canada, or whatever it costs for where you are. Disney pockets essentially all of that, which maybe they will be able to make up their money. You know what I mean? Like $30 a pop, how many people will have to watch before they make their money back? If 1 million people watch, obviously that's going to be $30 million. This movie costs them more than $30 million to make. It must have. Do you know the budget of this movie?
I don't have it with me. I can quickly Google it, but I believe it was quite a bit. It was definitely budgeted, so it would be making, like, they were expecting to make $1 billion off this in box office.
You think $1 billion, eh? I know Lion King did $1 billion, right? Aladdin did $1 billion also, didn't
it? Yeah, Aladdin did $1 billion. I think they were expecting this to be pretty similar numbers to Aladdin.
Aladdin was a shock. I don't think very many people expect Aladdin to do as good as it did. Aladdin did very, very good. It was in the top five for more weeks than Avengers Endgame was in the top five. Top five box office earners per week.
But in fairness, going into Aladdin, everybody was, you know, very anti-genie. There's not as much hype around it. This film has a lot. I know a lot of people that were excited about this. I didn't have anybody come to me to want to watch Aladdin theaters, but I had date night with
this
people.
This had much bigger and better buzz around it than Aladdin did, that's for sure.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are hyped about this one.
The week before Aladdin came out, they released like a couple clips of the movie, and I didn't watch the clips prior to, but I heard a bunch of people trashing them, saying it looks like a Disney Channel movie, really, really not enjoying what they saw. I think it was a clip for Prince Ali was one of the clips that they showed. A lot of people didn't like it. But of course, that movie went on to do very well, and I think be one of the better live-action movies for sure, if
I finally got the budget here, Tristan. It had the budget of $200 million.
That's around where I thought it would be. And that's just to make the movie. That's not counting marketing, which, as we know, it's had extensive marketing. Obviously, for its original release date that it missed. And now I'm sure it'll have some more marketing push for its upcoming release date. So you can slap quite a bit more on top of that for its... So you're looking at, say it was $100 million for marketing, which... It probably will be around there, right, for marketing. You got to think it's
going to bring... I would assume it might be more, but yeah, we'll
just say for easy numbers sake, that means it'll have to sell 100,000 copies, right?
Yeah, they would have to sell a lot.
You have to sell about 100,000 copies in order at $30 a piece to make back your 300 million. Or no, a million copies. I think my math's way off here.
I would have to sell 10 million?
10 million, yeah. 10 million makes sense to me. So you have to sell 10 million copies in order to make back your 300,000.
Just to break even, yeah.
Well, that's the break. Well, that's assuming that their marketing costs were only 100 million, which for a movie this size, 100 million marketing is pretty modest, right?
Yeah, especially because they had to keep revamping posters and trailers and everything due to the date changes.
Yeah, but like I was saying, with that, they're also saving money on not having to pay exhibitors, which normally when you look at your marketing and exhibitor costs, you bundle them in together. So just 100 million for marketing, seeing that they have no exhibitor costs.
And there was I saw a few films in December. I saw 1917, Little Woman, and Doolittle, and I saw two others. I can't think of it off the top of my head. And I believe three of the five of them had Mulan trailers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the trailers for Mulan have been in theaters for a while. They've been posters up for a while. I think I saw some billboards even for Mulan. It's been pretty heavily marketed.
Yeah, so they're going to have to make a lot of the money back. I get the $30, but hear me out, Tristan.
$10 million buys seems very doable. $10 million buys seems very, very doable. They're going to make their money back for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I expect them to break even. They're not reaching the billion-dollar club.
No, you're right. Yeah, to make $1 billion, how much would they have to sell? That would be about $35 million they'd have to sell to reach the billion-dollar mark?
Yeah. No. So triple breaking even, which we'll see.
I think they could have done it if this released, say, last year in theaters or whatever.
Oh, for sure. Especially the hype going in. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the hype going in is very real. I think a lot of people are excited for this.
A lot of people. I remember when we got the date plan, we all booked it off. And like, that's how excited some people. Like, I know a lot of people that are real excited about this. But I got a pitch here, Tristan.
Yep.
We don't love the $30 idea, but what if they said $30 on VOD? You can pick it up and stream. You can pick it up and rent it wherever you're able to. Or if you own a Disney Plus subscription, you can watch it on Disney Plus for $20. So that would be an incentive, at least, to have people that aren't already subscribed to Disney Plus to get the subscription and feel like they're actually saving money.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's something that could have worked. They can still do that. Say $40, people not Disney Plus, and $30.
Yeah.
I do question how many people right now that don't have Disney Plus want to watch Mulan, or at least want to watch Mulan so badly they'll pay the video on demand price for it, even if it's like $20 or $30, whatever it is.
Right.
You gotta think the Venn diagram of people who are willing to pay for Mulan on VOD and the people who have Disney Plus, that middle section's gotta be massive. And those two outer rims are probably pretty thin. You know what I mean? Like, people that wanna watch Mulan that don't have Disney Plus already, probably a very small percentage.
Right, but I know, obviously we don't see the numbers because Disney hasn't shared these numbers. But I imagine a lot of people have canceled their subscription since Mandalorian, since nothing new has really come out on Disney Plus.
Whoa, Quentin. What about Artemis Fowl?
Oh, that's true. Artemis Fowl. Everybody lined up for that.
Well, we do know that when Hamilton was released, Disney Plus shops number one on the app stores and stuff, and had a lot more downloads, presumably because people wanted to go watch Hamilton.
Right. So these movies do have people drawn back into the services. Hamilton brought people back, and I think
Hamilton, people who want to watch Hamilton, and people who have Disney Plus, that Venn diagram is probably a little smaller, right? It's not like Hamilton is a Disney property or has, you know, deep roots in Disney. A lot of Hamilton fans are going to be Disney fans, right?
That's fair.
This is a historical musical that was a theater, a Broadway play. That's a very far stretch from your standard Disney fan who likes Marvel movies and Pixar.
Right, but I still think this would bring some people, not a whole bunch, but I think it'd bring some people back to Disney Plus's services. And the point that I was more so thinking is it'll just make the people that have Disney Plus feel like it's cheaper. They're saving money. Oh, this is a deal.
You're right. I think that's the bigger point there, Quentin. You're right with that. It makes people who have Disney Plus feel good.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Disney's is really helping us out. Since I'm following the service now, it's cheaper for me to watch this film. It seems like a deal now, even though $20 is the same price as Trolls 2 Anywhere. At least now, oh, I'm saving money. This is Disney Plus is giving me something because I'm subscribed to them. It kind of gives an incentive.
Yeah. I don't like Trolls World Tour really came out with like $20 being the base level price for one of these, you know, movie that would go to theater but now going to VOD. Like $20 is your, you know, your base level price.
Right.
And Disney comes in here thinking their shit don't stink and charging, you know, 1.5 that at $30 instead. While, of course, you can have a Disney Plus account, which if you don't, that's going to be another, what, $9? So you're looking at essentially $40 to watch this movie, which at that point will be double Trolls World Tour.
Yeah.
It seems a little much.
Yeah. To be fair, it does have over double the budget of Trolls 2, I imagine.
Does it?
Well, you think Trolls 2 is over 100 million?
It's going to be at least 100 million now, I would think so.
That's
animation
fair.
Ain't cheap.
That's fair. Animation's pretty pricey.
Maybe. Let me look up Trolls World Tour budget.
All right. Sounds good. You're right. I'll probably, like, I can't imagine being over 120, but yeah, it's probably around 100 to 120 million.
90 to 110 million was the budget.
Okay.
So we can smack it in the middle, say 100 million. So yeah. You're right. It's double the budget.
So I guess that's why it's double the price for people paying. I understand why I have to make it expensive because it was such a big film. It's just, I feel like it's going to be hard to convince people to pay that much. Like, I could literally get the Mulan on Blu-ray in a year's time for that price. So it's hard to convince people to pay that. But I'm, you know.
Yeah, and you can just rewatch the original Mulan, which.
Yeah, it's got Mushu. It's a classic. I love that film.
Let's watch that one. It's a really good movie.
Yeah. And it's on Disney Plus right now. I'm excited. Good film.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of a good film, Tristan, that'll lead us to our second story here. A big announcement for Lifetime Film Lovers, which I know my and Tristan's grandmother is a huge fan. But we have the first gay marriage Lifetime film coming out for Christmas this year.
Like, is this Hallmark? Like, Lifetime is, like, not Hallmark, but essentially Hallmark, right? Like, different
brand. Yeah. I believe it's just a different brand. It's the but this is the first one for the Lifetime Christmas films.
Oh, this is a Christmas movie, right?
Yes.
Is this like a Christmas movie or just they have movies that aren't Christmas movies, I think, right? They don't just do Christmas movies.
I imagine they have non-Christmas films, but this is a Christmas film.
Okay, this one's a Christmas film, but a gay couple, like two dudes or two women?
Two dudes.
Two dudes, okay, two guys, okay.
Two men, and for those of you that are a big Lifetime fan, I'm sure there's some of you out there. Just to get you guys all excited, this is a sequel to last year's wild success, Twinkle All the Way.
Oh, no way. I've never saw that movie. I've seen Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that's fantastic, but I've never seen Twinkle All the Way.
Okay.
The sequel's called Twinkle All the Gay.
Oh my god. No, we got the title
that
here.
That would be hilarious as a name for the movie.
Yeah, instead of Twinkle All the Way, it's Twinkle All the Gay. No, we do have the title here. The title is The Christmas Setup.
The Christmas Setup. That's like the most generic Christmas movie name, I think. But of course, most of these Hallmark or Lifetime movies are pretty generic names. Which, I think this is great. Not really. Like, great representation to be great and all. That's good. But that's not why I think this is so great. I think this is so great because they're finally shaking up the standard format of these Christmas movies. They're all the exact same, and only this one's slightly different.
Yeah.
Which I think is exciting.
Tristan, yeah, you think it'd be a little different. It's the exact same setup. They have the story here of what the film's going to be about. It's the same film.
Wait, do you have a plot description? Read the plot description.
I did. Let me go back up and find it here. All right, so the setup is there is a man named Hugo who, guess what big city he's from, Tristan?
Chicago.
New York.
Dang, oh, I should have known.
Yeah, and guess what his job is?
Is he an editor?
He's a lawyer.
Lawyer.
So okay. The New York lawyer comes down to spend the holidays with his mother, I believe, and sparks fly when he gets to meet Patrick, his high school friend and secret crush.
Whenever I think hear Patrick, I always think of Patrick Starr. This man wearing like bright green shorts with flowers on them.
That'd be quite a film if instead of gay marriage, they're representing marriage between starfish.
That would be fantastic. They're both very progressive messages. I would appreciate them both. Is that the whole plot description? Is that all I said?
That's it. Come on, Chiz. Obviously,
don't want to give away too much, Quentin.
Yeah, obviously that's the plot description. Yeah, I do love how you're like, well, maybe they'll stray from the formula. And nope, same formula. It's just two dudes.
They already have, though. Like having two gay people. Having a gay couple instead of a straight couple. Like, at least that's different enough. That's more different than a lot of these other movies that are the exact same thing.
Yes. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. People love these films for a reason. They love The New York Lawyer.
But the big thing is this, though, Quentin. The people that love these movies, I assume, like most people, aren't like my New York demographic, right? They're mostly older people. As we mentioned, our grandma loves these movies. So you got to think, like, old people are most likely going to be the ones watching these, right? Particularly old women, I assume. Maybe some old dudes like this stuff, too. And I don't want to make any judgments about people, but they're generally less accepting of these kind of things than other demographics are, right? If there's a bunch of, you know, Zoomers watching this compared to a bunch of Boomers watching this, you know, you can almost 100% they're going to accept it, like, and welcome it. But a bunch of Boomers watching this thing, a bunch of Karens and their moms watching this, I'm interested to see what reception this gets. I'm hoping people are accepting of it and like it. And I'm hoping this movie is just as crappy as all the other crappy Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies. But yeah, I don't know how people are gonna feel about this. I'm all for it. Well, actually, I'm against it because I'm against any Lifetime Christmas movie. But I'm not any more or less against it than I am of Twinkle All the Way.
Yeah. I'm sure this will be a better sequel than its original.
Yeah, it's like Godfather 2, all right? It's gonna pass the original.
Yeah. One of the other reasons why this was going to be one of the stories this week is because the original article said that this was set to release in September. And I thought that was wild that a Christmas film was being released in September. But they seem to have corrected the article, and it just says the full slate of their Christmas Lifetime films are going to be set in September. So they'll release the rest later.
Man, but they start pumping these things out like middle of October, I think, man. They release Christmas movies almost all year round. Well, like, they start releasing them, I think, like before Halloween or just right after Halloween. So you got like 2 full months. But then they always go a little late into January, right? Like, it's like a bonus, like an encore type thing, or they keep playing them. And then, of course, they have Christmas in July, where like 2 weeks in July they just play a bunch of Christmas movies. People love these Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies. It's wild.
Yeah. Which, you know, I guess that's good. I know a few people that like them. It's maybe just a nice guilty pleasure. It's easy to watch. You don't really have to pay too much attention. At least I don't.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Christmas movies are always, there's always so many Christmas films. There's not enough Hanukkah films. We should get on that.
You're right. There's not very many Hanukkah films. Easter only has a handful. Luckily, Peter Rabbit has come through the past 2 years, I think. But
I was going to say, is there a good Easter film? Like, there's Hop.
Peter Rabbit.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see that. I imagine it wasn't good.
The first one was pretty good. I haven't seen the second one. It came out this year, I think, right?
Yeah, but it was pushed back till 2021.
Oh, okay. So I've seen the first one. I like the first one more than, like, Top. I didn't care for Hop very much.
Well, it's because Hop was Illumination.
Yeah, Hop wasn't the best. But yeah, there aren't a lot of, like, there's a lot of Halloween movies.
Halloween's a decent chunk.
Christmas movies.
Halloween is the perfect amount. Like, there's a fair amount, but it's nothing crazy.
Well, and the thing about Halloween, though, is, like, even movies that aren't about Halloween at all, any horror movie will suffice.
Yeah, it just still fits that. That's fair.
Halloween, you can just watch horror movies. Like, whether you watch, like, The Ring or actual Halloween movie or Halloween Town or Ghostbusters. You know, I mean, all those, you can watch on Halloween and it'll feel appropriate to watch on Halloween.
Chris, I like how you listed off like 5 horror films, but you didn't list off Scream 5, the big 2021 film.
Yeah. I don't know how. Yeah. I'm more excited for Halloween Town again. Let's be real.
Okay, fair enough.
Halloween Town. I've only seen the original Halloween Town, but this Halloween, me and Jada are pretty determined to watch all the Halloween Town movies during, you know, the October season or Halloween season, whatever you call it.
All right, well, here's the big question, Tristan. The Leprechaun franchise, is that considered a Halloween film or a St. Patrick's Day film?
I think, well, it's the same thing with, like, a Nightmare Before Christmas. Is it a Halloween or a Christmas movie? I think the correct answer to both those questions is both.
That's fair. All right, well, let's move on to the big story in my mind here, which is the next Hollywood star. I hinted at this at the beginning when I introduced Tristan, but we have a new player running for the next big Hollywood icon, and that is the Fortnite icon himself, Ninja.
Right. Is he like moving to Hollywood or something like that?
He's announced that he's going to Hollywood and he is going to hit it big. And if any television or a film studio wants to hit him up and put him on their show or film or have him have his own show, he is ready to go and he has millions of fans ready to watch whatever he's on. So he's kind of like, guys, everybody loves me. I'm guaranteeing you millions of people watching this film. Put me on.
Like, does he want to do like scripted TV, like script, like movies, or like?
He said he wants to conquer the rest of entertainment. Apparently, that's a quote he said, and he wants to focus on movies, voice acting, and cartoons.
Oh, so he's talking like real movies, not just like being in the entertainment sphere. Okay.
And apparently, this all started when he was doing a live stream and he was watching, believe, quote, the awesome new movie called 1917.
Okay.
And yeah, apparently that movie really touched him and he wants to do films like that. He wants to be in big blockbuster films, wants to be in voice acting cartoons, what have you, whatever people want him for.
Yeah, well, you said he listed movies, voice acting, and cartoons. Well, cartoons generally have voice acting, so two birds with one stone there.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird three things to pick. What I imagine is voice acting would be animated films and cartoons would be like TV shows.
Oh, I was thinking like voice acting could be like for a video game. So obviously the video game guy, right? And obviously lots of voice acting in video games is a very big thing.
Which could be. That could be what he's saying.
When he was saying voice acting, that's what I thought. Do you know who I think will actually pick him up? Do you know who I think his first movie will be with?
What?
Illumination. It totally seems like the kind of movie they would. It totally does, man.
You're right.
Like Disney's not gonna care. You know what I mean? You think Pixar's gonna pick this guy up for the next like Incredibles movie? They're not gonna give a crap. But Illumination? Are you kidding me? Hell yeah, they'll pick this guy up. He could totally be in the next Illumination film.
No, you're right. Illumination loves just finding the easiest way to make money.
Well, and all, like, Sing, Secret Life of Pets, they just chalk these movies full of, like, celebrity voice actors, hoping that that'll bring people in to watch the movies.
Well, because,
really understanding that the target demographic, like, 7-year-old kids, don't give a crap about voice actors.
7-year-old kids will care about.
Give a crap about? Ninja. So yes. This might work.
7-year-old kids will care about Ninja. This actually might be exactly what Illumination needs. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's totally an Illumination move to do this.
So they are in the works of making the next, what was it? The next Super Mario film? That's what they're making?
Yeah, you gotta think of the voice acting. Like, I'm assuming they're already at least at the stage where they've already got their voice actors. Probably the voice acting's already been starting. You know what I mean? He probably will be in the film after that, I would think.
Well, hasn't been anything official yet. I can see them dropping somebody and giving him Mario.
I would hope they don't put him in the next Mario movie. Because you gotta think Nintendo's gonna have some say in that. And I don't know if Nintendo would want someone who's famous for playing not Nintendo video games, like Fortnite and other video games, in their Nintendo movie.
That's fair.
They have delayed Minions 2 Rise of Gru. Do you think they could quickly slap him in somewhere there?
Yeah, he could definitely be a Minion.
They wouldn't have to like change any of the voice actors. Say, yep, that one there is what he did. He did the blah blah blah.
Yeah, his voice kind of works for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was thinking of listing off different types of films, and we can kind of figure out what characters we think he would be good for.
So, I will be honest. I have nothing against Ninja. I don't know if I've ever really seen any of his stuff. I don't know. I know his voice. I kind of know what he looks like, but only vaguely.
I don't watch Ninja either, but I saw a clip of him telling a 14-year-old to go kill himself. Just because it was like a really funny clip. This was like before he was huge on, like, this was like very early Fortnite.
We've all done it and said stupid shit.
Yeah, like it's a video that everyone uses against him, but like I'm not using it against him. It's just a hilarious clip. It's very funny. So I think I have enough background on Ninja, enough insight to make a proper educated decision on what he would be good for.
Okay.
And you can Google a photo of him. I'm mostly just going off looks, like what role I think he would look for.
Okay.
Obviously, somebody like Ninja would not be good for a character in Black Panther. You can kind of make a good estimation.
Yeah, he probably won't fit in Mulan very well either. Right?
yeah, he will not work in Mulan. But I was thinking MCU. What characters do we think he'd be good for the MCU?
Like a character that we don't have yet in the MCU?
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, a new character that they would introduce. So maybe a villain from Spider-Man 3 or 4.
Or like, what about like Iron Fist? You think he can play Iron Fist?
Who's Iron Fist?
You don't know Iron Fist? Like one of the Defenders? He was in like one of the Marvel shows.
One of the Defenders.
Yeah.
That could work. I was thinking, since the X-Men are now just bought out, I know he's already died, but I feel like they're going to bring, like, you know, they can bring back people that are already dead. What if we have the new Quicksilver is Ninja?
Or Cyclops?
Yeah. But I feel like they really want to show off his face for the kids. Or maybe they do want to cover the eyes, so it's, you know.
Give him some clout goggles. Might go over well with the kids.
That's true. I was thinking because he's got the blue hair and he could kind of play into the ninja joke.
I totally got it. Yeah. Human Torch.
Well, that was my second option. Yeah, what? Okay. That was going to be my second option, Human Torch. Okay, I think we're in agreement there.
Yeah, I think that's it, man. I think he could totally play Human Torch. I think the kids really like it. He's a pretty popular character. Not like Chris Evans, but come on. Chris Evans is already in the MCU. You can't bring him back as Human Torch. Ninja could do it. I think that could work.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're in agreement here with Human Torch. All right, so what about an animated film? We were already hinting at Illumination. Do we think there's maybe a Pixar sequel that we think he could pop in? He's got a pretty cartoonish voice. I think that's where he's going to rise.
Yeah, and I think I know exactly where he could go.
Okay.
He could be the cat emoji in the Emoji Movie 2.
The cat emoji, I like it.
Yeah. I think that could work.
Yeah, or maybe they'll have him for like 5 minutes of Emoji Movie 2 and he'd be the gamer controller and they make him have, say, like a bunch of funny Fortnite lines.
Oh, that's that could be pretty good too. You really know?
Play to the fans.
Yeah. Really play into that nostalgia. Or maybe for a little, you know, a little cheeky humor, he could be the ninja emoji.
Oh yeah, you nailed it. I forgot that was an emoji. I think
it was a ninja emoji. I could be wrong. I don't use emojis.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, neither do I.
I feel like it's the most useless emoji. We're never gonna use a ninja emoji, but it's almost certainly there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's definitely that emoji if that's the case. And I've always made the pitch that Illumination is going to make a Fortnite film because that's just what Illumination likes to do. They just like to buy properties that kids already know. They bought Grinch and Mario. And I think now that they have a lot of money, they're going to really buy out Fortnite. And I think they're just going to make Ninja the lead.
Yeah, that could work.
I think that's the next step for Illumination.
He already knows all the silly dances and everything.
And there's a Fortnite skin that is Ninja.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I want him in the banana suit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, then, if that's the case, he should be the banana emoji for Emoji Movie 2.
Oh, that could also work. That could also work. But not the eggplant emoji. We want to be appropriate here. It's the kids' film.
Yeah, that's too inappropriate. Maybe for Emoji Movie 3, XXX.
Oh, there you go. The porn parody of Emoji Movie.
That's where Ninja can shine here.
Yeah, maybe that's the kind of movies he's talking about. Maybe that's the movies he wants to make.
You know, he's tired of doing things for children. Now he wants to do things for adults.
Yeah, well, his viewer base is growing up. You know, he's got to grow up with them.
That's right. Yeah. It's a good call. the viewer base is now, what, like 16-year-olds? That's the perfect that's the people that were originally watching him 4 years ago. Perfect demographic. Go. All right, well, speaking of the perfect demographic for 16-year-olds, I got another story here about Jake Paul.
Oh, yes. I think I know this one.
Yeah, this is a classic story here. A bit of an update here, as after he was raiding one of the malls, we discussed this months ago, but due to him participating in these raids, he said he was just watching months ago. He said, oh no, I was just watching them do it. I wasn't partaking. But there has now been an FBI search throughout his house, and I believe they have found some guns.
Yeah, they found weapons. They confiscated the weapons. He is not being arrested, though. He is not under arrest.
No.
He has not been charged with anything. I mean, like, this FBI raid, there's no way this has anything to do with the mall incident in Scottsdale, Arizona. There's no way.
Well, they said it was connected to the Arizona riot.
Yeah, but, like, that's not a thing you send the FBI in for.
What was he sent in for?
We don't know yet. There's a lot of mystery still.
Oh, okay.
We do know that it's Paul. He owes about $2 million in federal taxes, in income taxes, that he hasn't paid back yet. Once again, not really an FBI thing, but, you know, could most definitely be a part of it. And I know that it's also in relation with his ties to this other guy.
Logan Paul?
What?
The other guy as in Logan Paul?
No. The other guy, Aziza something. He's like a fat guy. I don't know. I can't remember his name. Aziza something. And that guy, they're like buddies. He officiated the bullcrap wedding between Logan Paul or Jake Paul and a Tana Mongeau. He was like not the priest, but like the ordained one who like officiated the wedding. That guy is the exact same time Jake Paul got his house raided. That guy's house got raided. Seemingly in connection with Jake Paul's house raid by the FBI. And that guy's been caught, like, has had legal trouble for a while, a whole bunch of really weird stuff, like a robbery and a pimping and a whole bunch of other really weird crimes. Not weird crimes, but, like, serious crimes, like bad shit. Overall, seems like not a good dude, not a good guy. And so something to do with their relationship, they've probably gotten some sort of weird trouble that we don't really know all the details about yet. As far as I know, neither one have been arrested. Both their houses just got raided. There's no way that your house gets raided for being one of 100 people robbing a mall in Scottsdale, Arizona. You know
right.
what I mean?
No, you're right. There's probably more reasons behind it.
Yeah,
obviously no one was arrested. Everything's all fine. Do you think Jake Paul could just use the same strategy again and just say, I was just watching people put guns in my house. I didn't do it. Because me and Alex confirmed that that's the perfect strategy of just straight up denial.
It's most definitely a good strategy. Just deny. But isn't watching people put guns in your house also illegal? Like illegal guns in your house?
I wasn't. You know,
I didn't put the drugs in my arm. I just watched them put the needle in my arm.
Yeah, exactly.
I was not taking heroin. I watched them put heroin in my arm.
Yeah, exactly.
Heroin.
Yeah, we use the example of your mother looks in the cookie jar and the cookies are empty and you're like, I didn't take that. Somebody just took the cookies and put it in my mouth. It wasn't me, man.
This man is innocent.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Exactly. You know what? He just watched. I believe him. Jake Paul seems like a stand-up dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like a real stand-up guy.
Yeah. So, you know, no shadiness going on here. They just ended up being there. He was just as confused as the police.
What the hell was he doing in Scottsdale anyways? He lives in California. Why was he in Arizona during a pandemic?
He was just watching. He just went over to watch.
He went all the way to Arizona just to watch?
Yeah, he just went over there just to check it out. You know the media, they like to manipulate things. He didn't want to see secondhand media of it. He wanted to see it for himself, the authentic raid.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's a stand-up dude. He's a man of the people. I got one more story here. Do we have time or do you want to just go wrap it up and go to Brainsteel? All right. So this one's a bit of a short one too, kind of like Jake Paul. We got one more story here. So we got Justin Hartley here, who got a divorce with his wife, Christelle, I believe is how her name is pronounced, Chriselle. And it was just revealed this week that he divorced her via text, which I was ready to come in and defend Justin. This is the pandemic. He is doing the safest action possible. He is breaking up with somebody over text is the 2020 safest way to handle it. I mean, he could have called. Well, he could have, but like, hey, I hate calling people. I would, if I had the option between calling someone or texting, I'd take text every single day of the week. So, you know, the texting over calling, I get that. But apparently he did this a month before COVID started. Like, so close. He should have waited a month, and then he could have used that as an excuse here.
Wait, who is this? Why is this newsworthy? Who is this Jacob Hartley guy?
There are two celebrities that one of them is in the... Well, Justin Hartley is actually the star from This Is Us.
Okay, wait. Okay, so these are celebrities.
Yes, these are celebrities. Yeah. We're not just talking about random people from Edmonton here. So Justin, he is the star from This Is Us. And sorry, I was wrong here. Chrishell is also a television star. She is from a show that I've never heard of. Maybe you're more familiar with TV, Tristan. Selling Sunset.
Never heard of it.
Well, apparently one of the main storylines of the season I just started is about this situation where he broke up with her over text 8 months ago.
And yeah, there were more episodes of the show even during the pandemic?
I guess so. Maybe we should watch the show and see the quality of it. Maybe it's all done.
And Selling Sunset is either A, about a real estate agent, or B, a drug dealer. It's one of the two.
It definitely sounds like a drug dealer. Maybe Sunset's like the newest drug.
That's what I'm thinking. Like Sunset could be like a nickname, some kind of drug. Or it could be like a real estate agent selling houses.
Yeah, yeah. Sunset Boulevard or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. You nailed it. It has to be one of those two.
It's God. If it's not one of the two, I'm turning the TV off.
Yeah, so the show is coming out August 7th. So it's coming out this week. And they reveal what the main storyline is going to be, which is...
Well, spoilers, Quentin.
Yeah, spoilers about Selling Sunset. Either way, if it's about retail or drugs, I don't know why somebody getting a divorce over text has to be a major storyline here.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently Justin's getting a lot of hate by the female or by any fan of the Selling Sunset, which, you know, he's probably getting hate by like
all
five people.
All of them are furious.
I was gonna say he's probably getting hate by like five viewers.
Yeah.
At least This Is Us is a well-known show. Justin should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, look, breaking up with someone via, or divorce someone via text, although frowned upon, he didn't really do anything that wrong. He's just a bit of an a-hole. In my opinion, this isn't fucking newsworthy, all right? I don't give a shit, okay, that this one person divorced the other person via text. Who cares?
You don't care about Chrishell, the...
couldn't care less.
the hit star of Selling Sunset?
No, couldn't care less.
Yeah, well, yeah. Justin seems totally fine. Chrishell's totally fine. Well, okay, I guess Chrishell's clearly not fine. She holds a grudge, and it's been 8 months.
Yeah, it's been 8 months.
At least it was in December, I believe, of 2019.
Oh, shit, she's still mad about it?
Not only is she mad, Tristan, imagine being so mad that you created season 3 involving around that storyline.
That's some next level petty.
Yeah, that's great, honestly. Like, I want to be...
How long were they together? Like, how long were they married for?
That's a good question. To be fair, I'm not a huge Justin Hartley, Chrishell, Stouse.
Yeah, you know a big Hartley head? Come on.
Yeah, Hartley head. Is that what they call themselves?
Yeah, that's what the fan base calls themselves.
That sounds like the adult film Ninja's going to star in. Hartley head.
Hartley head.
Yeah, maybe this is Ninja's time to shine. Do you think he'll be this? Do you think he's going to play Justin in the Selling Sunset season 3?
Well, no, because if the character's getting divorced, they must have already had the husband in the prior season.
Okay, so do you think he'll play, like, the new guy? The guy that's like, oh, I won't text you.
He's going to be the divorce lawyer.
Oh, he's going to be the divorce lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, Ninja with his blue hair. He's like a 20-year-old divorce lawyer.
Yeah, and he concedes on all the important things. Like, they can have the house and the car. We want the collection of bobbleheads, all right? Bobbleheads are hers!
She wants to keep that PC so she can play Fortnite.
The VCR machine, it is hers, and she rightfully owns it.
Yeah, you can keep the house.
TV and stand we don't care about, but yeah, that VCR, it's coming with us.
You can keep that fridge. She doesn't need that. She can order Skip the Dishes. Perfect. Well, I'm glad we found a new job for Ninja here for Sunset, or selling Sunset.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's why I put it at the end. I didn't know if, you know, not really news.
It's because I and no one else gives any shits about this. I couldn't care less.
All the Hartley heads are...
heard about these people. I probably will never hear about these people after this. And I do not care.
All the Hartley heads, they're coming for you.
Come at me.
Come at me. Yeah. Oh, man. Have you ever seen This Is Us?
No, never.
Yeah.
I have no interest in it.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Doesn't strike me as my kind of thing.
Yeah, I started, I liked the first episode, and then the second episode lost me. So, you know, I fell off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is it for this week on Pop Topic. Tristan, anything else you want to throw out there to sign off on?
No, man.
Do you got any acting advice for Ninja?
I think he's a natural, all right? Look at that guy.
He doesn't need any advice.
I don't think he's going to need advice from me.
That's true, yeah. He doesn't need any advice. They should be asking him for advice. Tom Cruise should be coming to him.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, I think he'd be in. I think he'd be good for the next Mission Impossible film.
You know, you're right. He'd be like the bad guy.
Yeah. He'd just be the next bad guy Tom Cruise has to defeat. All right. Well, anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Bye. Yeah.